So probably one of the most quoted scriptures, stop judging, but one of the most misquoted scriptures. It was often used as a tool, as a tactic to shut down the conversation, to shut down any opposition. Like, don't judge me. You can't judge me. And when we read, really in the context, but when in the heart of the church, and really just understanding what Jesus is saying, he's not saying that we can't make judgments against actions, against certain practices. What he's cautioning us against here is a couple of things. That we don't judge intentions or motivations. We don't judge consciences. And we don't condemn people based upon their actions. But also he's saying to make sure that we have addressed the issues in our own lives so that we can clearly see what's going on. Because so often our own judgment, our own self-assessment is so clouded by our own sin that we can't really see clearly what's going on around us. So this is really the invitation of Christ. You know, so many of the great saints, the spiritual writers have said that. Like, when you see your brother sinning, remind yourself that you too have struggled. And the mercy and the grace that the Father has shown upon you, you should return that to one another. And especially if you have struggled with a particular sin you see your brother struggling in, remind yourself, remember how difficult it was for you to overcome. Have the same mercy and grace with others. But this is in no way saying we can't say certain actions are wrong and contrary to the law, contrary to God's law, the natural law, the moral law. We have an obligation, we have a duty to do so. We are our brother's keeper. We have an obligation to help people find the right path, to stay on the right path. We can't, though, condemn them for the choices that they make. There's a fine distinction. And so we should err on the side of caution in that. But we are in no way forbidden from saying that this is right, this is wrong. And to look at the first reading, this is a key moment in salvation history. Oftentimes I talk about we need to know the history of the chosen people. We need to know what had happened. We heard last week, right? Why did God choose them? Because they were... He loved them for no special purpose of their own, but God chose them. And then we see how God loved them by caring for them, revealing himself, giving them the law. But then today we hear about this tragic event where, so in the year 1000, King David died. And King David had united all of the tribes into one kingdom. When he died, his son Solomon took over. And he ruled for about 50 years. And we know Solomon was unfaithful to his wife. He was an adulterer himself, you know, practiced infidelity. And when he died in the year 950 BC, the kingdom split. The northern tribes and the southern tribes. Israel to the north and Judah to the south. So we hear those words often in Scripture, Israel and Judah. It's the names of the two separated kingdoms. And today what happened? The kingdom from the north, the enemy from the north, the Assyrians, came into Judah, into the northern territory, and for 3 years attacked and besieged. And the reason that they were able to overcome the kingdom of the north, why? Because of the infidelity and the lack of faith in the northern tribes. They began to practice with the pagan gods. They began to intermarry. They practiced sexual immorality. They forgot God. They forgot who they were and began to associate and assimilate with the pagan people. And because of that, they became weak. And in their weakness, they were able to be overcome, overtaken by this other kingdom, the Assyrians. And in 728 BC, we hear about Samaria and all of the people being taken into exile. And they lost their land. They lost their territory. Why? Infidelity and unfaithfulness. They forgot the God who had set them free, and they willfully chose slavery to sin. And because of that, they lost everything. any different from today? Anything different in our world? So many people who claim to know Christ reject him daily with their actions, with their choices, infidelity, idolatry. Is there any reason why the evil one is running rampant in our streets? We are no different than what happened in 728 BC. We've forgotten our God. And this is exactly what the gospel was talking about yesterday. Fear no one except for the one who has the power of life and death, God himself. Fear only him. Revere him. Love him. And the rest takes care of itself. This is that tranquility of our order where things are in their right and proper place. We can properly discern right from wrong when we love God first. It's played out time and time again throughout salvation history and in our own lives. And so when we look today at these great saints, these great intercessors for us in general, but in particular in these days today, Saint John Fisher was a bishop. And from what I understand, he was the only bishop that remained faithful to Rome when King Henry VIII was attempting and succeeded in creating his own church out of his own image and likeness, his own selfish sexual desires. He created his own church. John Fisher was the only bishop that was faithful. We should be begging his intercession that the leaders of our church today, bishops and priests, can resist the political tides and remain faithful to Jesus Christ and his church. St. Thomas More was a layman, a high-ranking official in the king's court. And his silence got him killed. He refused to verbally, publicly assent to what the king was trying to do by divorcing his wife. He held fast to what he knew to be good, true, and beautiful. He was willing to go to his death to remain faithful to Jesus Christ and to his church. Again, how much pressure are we under daily to reject Jesus and to say that certain things are okay just because the Supreme Court has ruled so or just because this law says so? And we get ostracized. We're made to feel less than. We get bullied into speaking up for things that we know are wrong. So again, Thomas More is a great intercessor for us today to remain faithful no matter what happens, even to the point of death. Thomas More said, "I am the king's servant, but God's servant first." May that be true for each one of us. Amen.